Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 159, stanzas 2, 3, and 4. In thee my soul hath shelter found, and thou hast been from foes around the tower to which I flee. Within thy house will I abide, my refuge sure whate'er betide, thy sheltering wing shall be. 2, 3, and 4 of Psalter 159.
Thank you.
Scripture reading for this afternoon hour can be found in Psalm 66. Psalm 66. But first, we will make confession with the 12 articles of our Catholic, undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Psalm 66. To the chief musician, a song or psalm. Make a joyful noise unto God, all ye lands. Sing forth the honor of His name, make His praise glorious. Say unto God, how terrible art Thou in Thy works. Through the greatness of Thy power shall Thine enemies submit themselves unto Thee. All the earth shall worship Thee and shall sing unto Thee, and they shall sing to Thy name, Selah. Come and see the works of God. He is terrible in His doing toward the children of men. He turned the sea into dry land. They went through the flood on foot. There did we rejoice in Him. He ruleth by His power forever. His eyes behold the nations. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves, Selah. O bless our God, ye people, and make the voice of His praise to be heard, which holdeth our soul in life, and suffereth not our feet to be moved. For Thou, O God, hast proved us, and Thou hast tried us as silver is tried. Thou broughtest us into the net, and Thou laidst affliction upon our loins. Thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, but Thou broughtest us out into a wealthy place. I will go into Thy house with burnt offerings. I will pay Thee my vows, which my lips have uttered, and my mouth hath spoken when I was in trouble. I will offer unto Thee burnt sacrifices of fatlings with the incense of rams. I will offer bullocks with goats, Selah. Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what He hath done for my soul. I cried unto Him with my mouth, and He was extolled with my tongue. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But verily God hath heard me. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor His mercy from me. So far the reading of God's holy word. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty God, and thou who art the witness, may it not have been a silent witness, but may it have been a witness that was heard, a witness that was felt and experienced in this morning hour, even at thy holy table, in the midst of thy church, those who have come forth to obey thy command, to do this in remembrance of thee, and to show forth thy death till thou come. Lord, thou knowest how that we are as men, as frail and sinful creatures here in a church militant, that we can do nothing right in thy sight, and that we cannot rightly examine ourselves, and we cannot be in ourselves anything but unworthy of thee and of thy communion at thy holy table. And yet, Lord, thou commandest us so to do, for thou wilt in thy own time come over for thy church. And Lord, could it have been also in this morning hour that there are those that may yet relish that which thou hast given, and that the taste thereof may still be with them, that in their heart there may be a glorifying of thy holy name, even as it was in the heart of thy psalmist of old. For then it will be experienced in the life of thy church that indeed thou art the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that thy goodness over us is so very, very great despite what we are and remain in ourselves, and that thy grace and thy mercy that is not to be expressed by human lips and understood by the human understanding, but that it must simply be experienced in the soul, even as that which is going before, that eternal rejoicing. O Lord, that thou mayst so remember thy church, and that it may be a little strength as they are to go forward in the warfare here below, when Satan will no doubt come again, and when the world and the flesh will once again be upon thy church, and will draw, and the old man will cleave, and the warfare will continue, and the disappointments, they will continue. But Lord, that I may continue also to look upon thee, and that they may be enabled continually to taste the savor of thy goodness and of thy love, that they may eat and drink of that fountain day by day, and that they may be satisfied, and that they may be strengthened to continue in the short time that is left here upon the earth, before that they will depart from this world, and they will meet thee in peace and in righteousness. Oh, that thou may give also the mouth of thy children to go open in this world, that there may be those that are interested to hear, and that there may be opportunity for thy work to be made manifest here below, and that it may come forth out of the mouth of thy children, and that man may be abased to the lowest, and the Lord God, the triune God, may be exalted unto the highest. Oh, so look then upon us in thy mercy. And Lord, then thou knowest there are so many that have stood without in this morning hour, and thou knowest all of the hearts. And there we have sat in this morning on the outside of that blessed portion, but thou knowest also what is within. Oh, that thou may work, O Lord,
that thou may remember those who are indeed thy own, and that have a burden as they go over this world. Oh, that thou may still feed them, and that thou may lead them from strength to strength, that they may experience something of the tokens of thy nearness also in this afternoon hour, that they may not be without a blessing, though that they were not able to attain unto the things of thy people, but that thou may lead them also unto that place and unto that time, that they may be given also to rejoice in the salvation of the Lord. And Lord, when we have no interest in these matters, oh, that thou may open our poor blind eyes by a new birth, that we may indeed begin to feel, that we may begin to see and to hear, and that we may begin to believe that thou art, and that thou art a rewarder of them that seek thee, and that our hearts may be drawn after our Maker and after the true and the living God. Oh, give when there is concern in our life, when there is a burden in our life, that also it is only in an outward way. Lord, thou art able also to make it an inward concern, that we may become part indeed of that concerned church of God, and so that thou may give to continue diligently to use the means that thou hast given unto us and unto our children. Lord, wilt thou look upon young and old, and then when we have been the witnesses in this day of that visible sacrament, oh, that it may not depart from us, and that we may not be able simply to go on in this life without any effect, without any result, without any consequence, but oh, that thou may do for us that which we cannot do, and that thou may bless and sanctify word and sacrament this day. Remember all the afflicted and those that are not able to be with us in this afternoon hour, that thou may supply in the places where they are, and may thou give to all those that suffer in this world, those that miss loved ones, and those that suffer from serious diseases and from handicaps known unto thee. Wilt thou supply in all the needs and the cares, strengthen parents and teachers and all that labor for our children's education. Wilt thou look on them also in the days of their youth, that the holy jealousy may be born in their young hearts, for that blessedness that thou bestowest upon thy people, that they might learn to seek thee in the days of their youth while the evil days come not. And when we have grown old also under the preaching and under the administration of thy sacraments, and when our hearts have become so hard and cold thereunder, O Lord, then it can seem so impossible, and the fears can mount up because our days do come to an end. And when we still stand without, then it is so fearful a thing to approach unto our death. But Lord, wilt thou give them even in their old age to bow their knees and to cry unto thee, who art all powerful and almighty, to break the strongest resistance and to break the hardest heart, to melt the coldest heart, and to bring them upon their knees in the dust of self-abasement before thee. O Lord, look upon them in thy mercy, and that the gray-headed ones also may be given to rejoice in thee, to glorify thy great and holy name. Do look upon all thy truly sent servants. Wilt thou supply for them upon thy Sabbath days, day, week after week? and all the consistories and all that labor in thy kingdom, in the homes and in thy house continually, and those upon the mission fields and all those that rule and reign over us also, wilt thou supply in thy mercy, help us in this afternoon hour. Lord, once again we stand before it. And when man shall bring his own word, then it shall be for the breaking down of all that is of thee. But when we may bring thy word, though it is not according to our flesh, then it shall be to our profit, and wilt thou therefore look upon us in this afternoon again to take away what is from us and to give in its place what is of thee, and that thou may bless and sanctify thy own word in the hearts of thy children. Forgive and take away our many, many sins for Jesus' sake. Amen.
While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter number 7, stanzas 1, 2, and 3, on the good and faithful. God has set his love. When they call, he sends them blessings from above. Stand in awe and sin not. Bid your heart be still. Through the silent watches, think upon his will. We make a second announcement. Mr. and Mrs. Willard Munce have requested to become members of our congregation from the RCNA. Lawful objections should be brought to the consistory by September the 18th. Psalter number 7, all stanzas. congregation this past week was a week of preparation, and now we are gathered for an hour of reflection. The work of preparation and the work of reflection are very closely related. And yet there is a distinction between these two things. In preparation, then, we are looking forward, examining how that it is. But in reflection, then, we are looking backward and examining how that it was. We do not live in a world of much reflection. Man hastens to an end without very much contemplation, without very much observation, without very much thinking at all. But reflection, that is one of those responsibilities that is laid in a special way upon the Church of God. Why? Because it is to the honor of God, and it is also to the comfort of their soul. And then the Lord is not coming only in an immediate way, when He will visit His children, when He will bring them unto the banqueting house, and when they may experience that His banner over them is love. But then the Lord is also giving His children comfort by the way of the reason of the mind. That is, that they may examine, that they may look upon that which has taken place in their own soul, that they may make comparison with that rational mind that the Lord has given unto them, that they may also in such a way receive comfort by the hand of the Lord. We have read together from Psalm 66, but the psalmist says, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But verily God hath heard me. He hath attended unto the voice of my prayer." Thus we can hear that there is a reflection and that there is a reasoning in this reflection which is going on in the heart of the psalmist. And what is this all tending to? Well, then we read it further. He says, "Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor His mercy from me." Thus it ends in His own comfort, and it ends in God's glory. And we have the same thing, children. You know that there was a man. He was born blind. And that man who was born blind was cured. By whom? You say it was by the Lord Jesus. That is right. That was by His great power. And He has said to the Pharisees what has happened, and they would not believe Him. And they said to Him, "Dost thou teach us?" They did not think they could be taught by this man who was not instructed in the law like they were, but He was able to instruct them because He was taught by someone else, because He was taught by the Lord Himself. And what does He answer? He says this, "Why, herein is a marvelous thing, that ye know not from whence he was, yet he hath opened mine eyes. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, But if any man be a worshipper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man it was not of God, he could do nothing. Thus that man marveled and reasoned concerning the work of God in his life. And thus that man came to comfort himself and to the glory of God. And thus reflection, that is also a very profitable work for God's church. And we wish, with the Lord's help, to consider in this afternoon hour the Song of Solomon, the first chapter, and then the next few verses, verse 12, 13, and 14. Song of Solomon 1, verses 12 through 14. While the king sitteth at his table, my spikenard sendeth forth the smell thereof. A bundle of myrrh is my well-beloved unto me. He shall lie all night betwixt my breasts. My beloved is unto me as a cluster of camphor in the vineyards of Engedi. So far the words of our text. The bride reflects upon sitting with the king at his table. First, the realization of this sitting with the king. And second, the fruits of this sitting with the king. The bride reflects upon sitting with the king at his table. First, the realization of it. And second, the fruits of it. While the king sitteth at his table. Sitting at table is something that you and I are all very familiar with. Thus, it speaks about eating, drinking, feasting together. Sitting at table is also a very pleasant thing, or at least it ought to be a pleasant thing. That is not only to eat, children, young people, that we come as fast as possible to the end of our sitting together, but then there is also a time to speak to one another, to talk with your father and your mother, your brothers and your sisters, thus to sit at the table. That is a time of communion, and that is something that also Satan in our day is fast attempting to take away from family life. And when we will be drawn ever more after the way of the world, that we are not giving even our children to know what it means to sit at the table and to enjoy such a communion, then even in an outward way, then we deprive ourselves of the knowledge of the meaning of the Word of God. Because then the Lord is speaking also here about what it means for His church to commune with Him, and that is in a spiritual way. And then He speaks about that blessedness of sitting at the table. Sometimes we sit at the table, children, when that table does not belong to anyone in particular. When you go to a public place, a picnic table or something, then you are gathering there with your family and with your friends. And then you may sit there and you may eat and then you may commune with one another. But very often, that table belongs to someone. Thus, that is now a very special thing, that is actually a very different thing, because when that table belongs to someone and you are sitting at that table, that means that you are a guest. that you are a guest of him to whom that this table belongs, that you are invited by him, that you are now going to receive these gifts at this table at his expense, and that you are privileged that you may come to commune with this person. That is for you a great privilege, and that is for him an honor. Therefore, he has invited you to his table, while the king sitteth at his table. If, young people, you were invited now to sit at the table with the premier or the prime minister, that would be a very great thing. Then we can be sure that we will hear also from your mouth that you have received this great privilege and what it was, that you may commune with him about. Thus to sit at the table with a king, a governor, one who is in a very high position, that is, of course, a very, very great privilege. Thus, who is now able to express what a privilege that is, that we may sit at the table of the King of Kings? Who can express the condescension of the King of the heavens and of the earth, that he says that he will come, that he will sit at his table, and he will gather around him those of his own people? What person is worthy to so sit at such a table? There is none. And what person can rightly make himself fit? What person can rightly prepare himself to sit at the table with the King of Kings, that is, with that holy, with that divine being, that is to sit at table with God himself? But what is a congregation also not to be invited to sit at that table? Have you felt also something of that in this morning hour? What that means, not to be invited to sit at that table? And maybe that it is for us no burden that we are not invited there. Because maybe we are, as we read in God's word, like Gallio, that he had no care for any of these things. That we have only care for our farm, that we have only care for our house, for our family, for our business, for the future that is in this world. And we have dutifully come up, and we have watched with interest to see who now was going to go forth unto that table of the Lord. Our conscience that is satisfied because we come to church. But the sooner that we are finished, and the sooner we are finished with bowing our knees in our private chambers and reading that holy word of God, then the better that it is for us. To worship God in spirit and in truth, we have no conception of, we have no desire for at all. Solomon says, the full soul loatheth an honeycomb. And our soul is full. full of this world, full of this time, full of ourself. And actually we loathe the honeycomb. We loathe the sweetness of the food that God is giving unto his children. Is our case then hopeless? It is not hopeless. Our case is not hopeless, even though that we do not desire it. Our case is not hopeless, even though we cannot change it. And why is our case not hopeless? Our case is not hopeless because God is almighty. And the place where we are and the desire that we have or do not have is that exact place that the Lord is finding every one of his own children, his elect, in this time. No, our case is far from hopeless. Because God's strength that is greater than our rebellion. And the Lord does not need our will to begin, but his will that is able to affect our will and to make us a willing people in the day of his power. We would say, do not neglect the means of grace. Though it is but form, though it is but custom, which is so completely wrong, oh, do not neglect, young people, those means of grace. Do not neglect the reading of God's word in your inner chamber. You say you have no time. You have time to read one verse. You have time to bow your knees for 1 minute, for half a minute. Oh, do not neglect those means of grace. That is now in the first place. But we will also lay on you your guilt, because your deadness, that is also your guilt. Because there is no desire, and we are accountable for our desire. We are accountable for our motives. And we will have to give an answer to God for them. Because we were created so different. Oh, then meditate on these things. Because if we remain on the outside forever in this world, then it will be that we remain on the outside forever eternally. While the king sitteth at his table, there are others that also did not feel invited in this morning, and yet you are not so careless. There are others who did not feel invited, and yet you go over this world with a burden. You go over this world with a burden that you are on the outside. And you are not a complete stranger also of the cause of being on the outside. That it is your own fault that you are on the outside and that you continue to be on the outside. And then it is that by times you are considering also that you have to die. And that you are not able to die. And that you have to appear before God, and you do not dare to appear before God, then you feel, oh, then you know something, that is, you cannot remain in that state in which you have been born. And then you feel something sometimes, how that time, like an ever-rolling stream, is bearing it all its sons away. And then you feel something by times, how that stream of time, that stream of life that is also bearing you away. You know it is a great matter to come to that table of the king.
You know you cannot have just a church right. No, you also need to have a divine right. You need to have permission from the Lord. And therefore you did not come. And yet it does not leave you altogether cold. It does not leave you altogether hard. Is your case hopeless? Oh, your case is not hopeless, though it might seem from your own side, because of the time that goes by and continues to go by, and it seems like nothing happens in my life, and that the means of grace, they are being used, but I cannot change this wretched, this awful, this dead, this hard heart of mine. No, then it is not hopeless. And why is it not hopeless? Because His grace, congregation, that is wide as the ocean. Oh, you cannot see it, but we read that where sin abounded, their grace did much more abound. And that was now the experience of God's servant. No, that was not just the knowledge of his mind, but it was something that was opened to him by the Lord Himself. And then it may be that you are not yet able to see anything of this. Why? Because it is not yet revealed to you. Because it is not yet opened unto you. Why? Because you are not yet brought by the Lord to the place of the brothers of Joseph. You say, how much have I to learn in my life? All the Lord knows what we need to know. And that is that we need to come to an end. But when we think we are at an end, then the Lord is not done yet. No, the Lord, He will bring all together to an end from our side. Oh, then we would say what the Lord Jesus said, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. And that you may be even like a servant who said, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. Because what do we read? The kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. While the king sitteth at his table, there are, congregation, also others. You too desire the blessing. You too desire to sit with the people of the Lord. You too desire to be included. You have studied. You have studied all the religions of this world. You've seen the poverty. And you have come to the conclusion that Christianity, that is the true religion, that it is the only true religion. And you have been brought up under the truth, and you have studied also Reverend Kersten's dogmatics, and you agree with that wholeheartedly. And you would stand also to defend it. That when one would speak against it, that you are able to give reasons why that you say this is indeed the truth. And maybe there is also some strength of emotion with it, that by times when you come into the house of the Lord, and that sometimes you are so glad when you may come among the society of the church, and when you may sing the psalms. And then sometimes you are also grieved. You are grieved when you go forth from God's house. And when you read the newspaper and you say, oh, the world that we live in, what a world that is. How that man is abusing the name of the Lord, how that man is abusing his day, how that man is murdering even the unborn. And maybe by times that you come even into God's house and you have wept here in the house of God,
or when you have seen and felt something, as it were, how that the Lord Jesus was crucified and how cruel that they were to that innocent and that good-doing man. And so maybe perhaps that you have even so taken your place at that table in this morning hour. And that you have done so not without feeling. No, that you are struck with emotion. Why? Because Jesus, He is so kind. Jesus, He is so good. Jesus, He is so long-suffering. He gave Himself, His life, self-denying. And your conscience says that you, yes, you are not really so much that way. And then you say, yes, I am going to try much harder to walk in the footsteps of the Lord Jesus. And so you go to your place again. And you are satisfied in your conscience. And you say that you have now done the right thing. And you have not denied the Lord. And you cannot understand other people, because they also make confession of that name. And they also speak about sin. And then they do not come unto that table of the Lord. What is missing, young people? What is missing? Can you hear it? There is something missing, is there not? Is there not a wonder missing? A wonder. And when that wonder is missing, then we miss everything. Because when that wonder is not there, then it is of our mind. And when that wonder is not there, God does not receive the glory. Is there hope for such people? There is. Why is there hope for such people? Because the Lord is stronger than the deceit of our own heart. Even Saul became a Paul. But how did he become a Paul? Well, he said, I was alive once. And that is now the problem. Such persons are still alive. They are still alive as Paul. And they still have a religion as Paul had a religion. But what does Paul say? I was alive without the law. But then the commandment came. And then sin revived. And I died. And that is now what is missing. Then we miss death. We have never died unto ourselves. And when that is missing and that remains missing, then the wonder of life that will never be experienced in our heart. Do you know what we need to be made? We need to be made upright. We need to be made honest with ourselves, and we are not honest with ourselves by nature. We need to be made honest in examination of ourselves truly according to that word of God. While the king sitteth at his table. And when that king is sitting at his table, then where are we sitting? How was that for the bride? She speaks of the king. Oh, she speaks of his majesty. She speaks of his greatness. She sees something of this. That is, that he is not just a human, no. But she sees, she feels something of his divinity. Thus, that title that she is using, the king, then there is a recognition of the great superiority of the king. And when she recognized this great superiority, then she feels something in herself. And what is that? That is a great humility. Thus, humility that is the characteristic of that true church. And now what a great matter to believe that I am invited unto the table of this king. That is a great matter. And why such a great matter? Because of their view of him, because of his majesty, because of his greatness, because of his holiness. Why such a great matter then, especially because that view that she has of herself, we have heard that. Thus the holiness of God on the one hand and the corruption of the heart on the other hand, these two things that bride is not able to put together. And where do they come together? They come together in the Son of God. Thus, without a view, without that Son of God revealing himself, these two things never can be put together in the life of that church. That is what we often sing. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. That is what the Lord is revealing in his Son. Mercy and truth. That is the truth of God's justice, that he is not able to overlook sin, and at the same time to be merciful. Those two things coming together in the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And thus that bride, she is standing at awe. She is standing at awe at the condescension of this King of Kings, that he is coming, that he is descending, that he may sup with her, that is not with the holy angels, that is not in heaven, no, but that is upon the earth with his black bride. While the king sitteth at his table, and the bride knows something, that that king is sitting at that table. Thus, how is it that that bride knows that that king, he is sitting at that table? Can they see him, children? Oh, then you saw too this morning. You say it was all persons you know. But you say, where was the king? Oh, then you know that that king is in heaven. That that king is seated at the right hand of God. And how is he present with his church? He is present with his Godhead, majesty, grace, and spirit. And so that church may know something of the presence of that Godhead, majesty, grace, and spirit. So she says, while the king sitteth at his table, my spikenard sendeth forth the smell thereof. Spikenard, that was a very costly and a very sweet-smelling ointment. We know that Mary has anointed the Lord Jesus with this. It was used in the holy anointing oil. And our children know that it was very expensive because Judas, who held the bag and liked to take that money for himself, and Judas was very angry at Mary. Spikenard. And those, that spikenard is, in the Song of Solomon, a picture of that grace that the Lord has given unto his church. That grace that is in itself very sweet. It is in itself excellent, very precious. Not only unto God, but it is precious and sweet smelling also to everyone who has been given a spiritual life, a spiritual sense. David said, let my prayer come before thee as incense. But now the bride, she speaks about this spikenard. She says, sending forth the smell thereof. Thus she speaks about the exercise of that faith and the exercise of the graces that are given to her from the Lord. Because outside of those exercises, then that grace that is like a spice that we do not beat. Maybe you have them, children, in your home, a little ball, a little spice. You can ask your mother sometime. And if you smell it, that smells nice. But if you will take it and you will now crush it up very, very small, then you will find that the smell that is going forth much more into the room, everyone can then smell it. It will become very strong. Thus, there is grace in the heart of God's children, and that is in itself very precious. But then there is also, as it were, the crushing of that spice. Then there is the flowing forth of that ointment of spikenard so that is going forth that everyone can smell it. Thus, there is a great difference in this ordinance, in the bare ordinance, or when that king, he is coming to sit at that table. And that it is the presence of that king that is for that church everything. And that bride, she may observe this. Then she may feel this and she may know this when that king, he is also sitting with her at that table. Because that bridegroom has an influence on her. Then there is an effect. There is something happening with the grace that the Lord has given unto her, that the Lord is bringing those graces, that the Lord is bringing that faith into exercise. And then that which was too great for that church to receive, then they are being given what is necessary to receive it unto themselves, what is necessary to believe it. What is it which is so standing in the way often of that church? That is their own unworthiness. That is day by day my life. That is day by day my carnality. That is day by day the sin that is working up within my heart. And then that is the great contrast between that holiness of God and how that these things can come together. Then that church, we have said, as that worthiness, that as that unworthiness is increasing, then that wonder is increasing, the impossibility is increasing. Or what is the Lord then doing? What is that king then doing? Then that king is effecting the graces that the Lord has given. Then that king is giving that people to see so much in that king, then he is giving them an opening into what that free grace really is, that they may observe something of the greatness of his grace and how much greater that this is than that their own sin is, so that it is possible that they also may receive the mercy of the Lord in their own heart,
or that it is possible that they may also believe it for their own soul, that their own wretchedness is not then standing in the way because of the greatness of the gift of that King. And then they are able to receive it, and that they are sinking away under that wonder of the Lord. While the King sitteth at his table, my spikenard sendeth forth the smell thereof. Oh, then the Spirit of the Lord that is giving the graces of the Lord to flow so freely, then they are able to cast for that moment their entire case upon that King of the church. Oh, then they are able to feel that King, he is taking up their own case for them. And they may so freely give it over to them that everything is taken care of by this King. Oh, then you understand that people is so refreshed. Oh, then their love and their desire and their longing, you cannot rightly express it by words of the language of this life. Then the desire that is going out after that King more and more. Oh, then that bride is sometimes swooning. So that bridegroom has to come and he has to hold her up with his right hand under her head and with his left hand that he will embrace her. And that sometimes that church that has even to say, Lord, stop for a moment. Because this mortal body that is not able to continue to receive such a blessing while the King sitteth at his table, my spikenard doth send forth the smell thereof. Or is that now not a blessed reflection of the bride, when she may look back upon that time, that moment, and when the King may sit with her, and then she may open, or then she may return unto the Lord with this blessing. And what is the fruit of it? After we sing Psalter 397, 2 through 5. The Lord is greatly to be praised. His greatness is beyond our thought. From age to age, the sons of men shall tell the wonders God has wrought. 2 through 5 of Psalter 397.
A bundle of myrrh is my well-beloved unto me. My beloved is unto me as a cluster of camphor in the vineyards of Engedi. That is now the fruit. The fruit is that the heart of that bridegroom, the heart of that bride that is flowing, and that is flowing with desire, that is flowing with desire to honor and to glorify that bridegroom, a bundle of myrrh. And that was a very precious and savory spice that was made use of also in the anointing oil, in the embalming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says here, a bundle of myrrh, that means an abundance of myrrh. And then a cluster of camphor or cypress, a very precious wood in those parts, and having a very sweet odor also. And then a cluster of it, so much of it and much of its excellency all bound together in one. And then it says, in Engedi, that was all were the horses of Egypt. Were they the most goodly horses in the time of Solomon? Well, this camphor of Engedi, that was the most precious camphor that could be found, that could be grown in those parts. Oh, thus we hear something. We hear not only something which is coming from that bridegroom concerning that bride, but now we hear, oh, what does John say? Oh, we love him because he first loved us. And so we hear this also now coming out of the mouth of this bride unto her bridegroom. There are two similitudes that she uses, myrrh and camphor. And she is using these two similitudes both to speak about one thing. And why? Because she is not able to express the excellency of this bridegroom with a single expression. Oh, so she has experienced that bride to be so excellent and becoming unto her when he was sitting with her at his table, and when her spikenard that did send forth the smell thereof, oh, then she has experienced that in him there was such an abundance, there was an abounding virtue, so that there was insufficient room for her to receive everything, as if the windows of heaven were open, so that there was not room enough for her to receive that blessing. That he did abound in righteousness, that he did abound in wisdom, that he did abound in strength, that he did abound in mercy and grace and loving kindness. And that not all objectively, no, but all for her. So that there was nothing lacking. That is for her now the greatest wonder. She says, a bundle of myrrh is my well-beloved unto me. My beloved is unto me as a cluster of camphor in the vineyards of Engedi. Thus, it is not only subjective, but it is also objectively applied. That faith that is brought into exercise by him. No, oh, that bride is not always in the strife when she is here in this world. And then that bride sees a relation. Oh, she sees a blessed relation between that bride and the bridegroom. She sees a relation that no one is able to break. No, not if hell is coming against it, that is still going to stand to all eternity. Oh, then how personal that the Lord is. Not because that she believes, no, but she simply says, he is so unto me. No, that is not the certainty of it, is not standing in her faith. If it was standing in her faith, then it was so flimsy. Oh, then as soon as she could not believe it again, then it is gone. But she says, no, it is not so.
He is so unto me. That is simply the way that it is. And he so ever shall remain to me, even at that time that I am not able to believe it, even at that time that that wonder is so great that I am not able to take it over for myself. And now what does she desire? Oh, she desires to hold on to it. Do you know that, people of the Lord? She wants to hold on to this as long as she can. She would like never to let him go. She says, he shall lie all night betwixt my breasts. Oh, she would like to remain there in that condition when he is sitting at that table with her. Oh, she would like to remain in that condition now all the rest of her life. Oh, then she experiences how precious that is when faith may be an exercise. Oh, how God glorifying this is, how comforting that this is unto her soul, so that she would continue to embrace him. Oh, that she would keep him in her arms, that she would thrust him into her bosom, that she would say, oh, stay now here with me. Stay with me now here on the rest of my life until that I have to die. Oh, she would have that her spiritual senses would always be satisfied with his presence. And she loathes that day. Oh, she loathes that day that he is going to depart from her again. And she is going to try to resist it. She is not going to let him go. She is going to watch so very carefully now her life. She is not going to provoke him, no. She is not going to provoke him so that he will be disquieted, so he will be grieved. No, he shall lie all night betwixt my breasts. How is that, people of the Lord? Is that now strange language to you? Or do you know now something of what that bride is speaking about? Is that not a wonder? Is that not a wonder now? If in reflection, if we must say in our life that we are not a stranger of the life of that bride, is that not a great wonder? Is that not now to the comfort of the soul? Is that not now the profit of reflection? Or must that reflection now be just only for 1 hour? Or may that reflection now go with us in the week to come, that we may yet still taste and still eat something of those blessings of the Lord? Oh, who can know what glory shall be if such blessedness is already to be found by moments in this world, when the presence of that King, he is felt and he is experienced in a spiritual way, and that people, that they may know it in their life, that they might feel how, what an effect that it has upon their soul, and how that spikenard then is going forth in all of its beautiful smell. Oh, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. No, it is not only for this life. They are but little tastes. Oh, they are but little tastes of what is going to be enjoyed forever and forever. And no amount of sin and no amount of shortcoming is going to keep that people away from that eternal enjoyment. Oh, even David, murderous David, adulterous David, and straying Solomon, and persecuting Saul, and denying Peter, and murderous Manasseh, oh, all of them, they are this day magnifying and glorifying a triune God. All justified, all sanctified by that blood of the Lamb. And therefore will magnify his name forever and forever. And therefore that people, all with Mephibosheth, they are going to eat daily at that table of the King. And that crown they are going to cast before that King. Oh, they will say, what is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? But they shall sit there with that King, and old and their spikenard. Their spikenard is going to send forth the smell thereof. That 144,000 of them, each and every one. Oh, what shall be? What shall that be in glory? And then he shall never depart from between their breasts. But then they may hold on to him, and they may embrace him forever and forever. Oh, congregation, reflection, reflection. What a blessed thing that reflection may be. What a comfortable thing that reflection may be. But now reflection that may also be a very uncomfortable thing. Oh, and then it is possible that we want to pass that quickly away from us, because we feel something of it when we are sitting, and we must confess that we have to remain on the outside because we do not know the beginnings of these things. And then it is understandable that it is not so pleasant, that is not so comfortable. Oh, push it not away from you then. Push it not away from you, but meditate on these things that your heart, that it may be given to yearn and to hunger after the true and the living God, that you may experience in your life, your own life, in such a personal way, how that his grace indeed is so wide as the ocean, and that the chiefest of the sinners, that he is able to be taken in there by this King. And that grace that is not going to turn away anyone who will apply unto it. Oh, the Lord give a reflection indeed. Even when that reflection, in it we must feel the curse of the Lord. But that we may be given that reflection from above, that when we arrive at our final destination soon, then that door is not going to be shut against us unto that table of that King of Kings. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, give us truly reflection, because we are so foolish. And we are as the beasts of the earth, that we would just die, and that we would have no soul and no eternity. But Lord, we cannot rid ourselves of our soul. And therefore it is a serious matter for young and old. Also, when we hear that before we are 1 year, and that we can suddenly be passing out of this life and entering into that great eternity, and it is well or it is woe. Strengthen those parents in thy mercy. And wilt thou look on each and every one of us, that the seriousness of our life may indeed be bound upon our hearts. And wilt thou go with us now in the week to come. In the remainder of this day, give us to keep thy day holy. Strengthen thy servants over the length and the breadth of this world. Help us in the week, in the labors of our hands, at school, at our labors, in the home and by the way. And wilt thou forgive and keep us from all iniquity, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Psalter 52, all stanzas. Thou, Jehovah, art my shepherd. Therefore I no one shall know. In green pastures thou dost rest me, leadest where still waters flow, and when fainting, sweet refreshment dost bestow. 1-4 of Psalter 52.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.